The word of God that we'll consider this morning is our second lesson from 2 Thessalonians. Let's begin with prayer. From eternity, O God, in your Son, you did elect me. Therefore, Father, on life's road, graciously to heaven direct me. Send to me your Holy Spirit, that his gifts I may inherit. And may Christ, my Lord and Savior, be my life and love forever. Amen. On February 20th of 1862, Willie Lincoln, the 11-year-old son of President Abraham Lincoln, he died of typhoid fever in the White House. And this was not the first time that the Lincolns had dealt with this kind of grief in their family. 12 years prior, in fact, they had lost their second son, Edward, when he was just 5 years old. But this death of Willie really seemed to strike a blow to the Lincolns. And so the president asked that someone be brought to the White House to help them out during this difficult time. And not just to help out their youngest son, Thad, who was sick as well, but especially his wife, Mary Todd, who was in a pretty dark place following the death of her son. And so the chief army nurse found a woman named Rebecca Pomeroy and had her brought to the White House to assist. And on the day that she was brought to the White House, she met the president and sat down and talked with him a bit. And he asked her about herself and her background and discovered that she was a widow who had lost two children of her own. And as she explained her situation to him and explained how God had been with her and cared for her through all of it, one of Lincoln's biographers reported that the president sat there with his hands covering his face and tears streaming through his fingers. The same biographer records another interaction between these two shortly after their meeting. Rebecca Pomeroy was being brought back from the hospital she worked at in town to the White House. And as she came, the carriage she was in got stuck in the mud because there had been a storm the night before and the roads weren't so good. And the president himself actually came to her aid. He came down and he found three large stones and he put them in the mud between the carriage and the sidewalk. And we're told that this is what he said to Rebecca Pomeroy. He told her, "Now, Mrs. Pomeroy, if you will please place your feet just as I tell you, you can reach the sidewalk in safety." And after helping her across, this biographer noted that he looked at her and said, "All through life, be sure and put your feet in the right place and then stand firm." Rebecca Pomeroy ended up serving the first family for the better part of a year after this. And it seems that during this very bitter time in Abraham Lincoln's life, his faith in God was perhaps rekindled a bit, in part due to Rebecca Pomeroy. Now, whether or not this quote about standing firm came from a heart of faith or not, as Christians, we can certainly appropriate and appreciate the truth of it, can't we? God very often in his word encourages us to stand firm. And yet we recognize that if we want to stand firm, we need to be standing in the right place. And our God doesn't leave us in doubt about where that is. In fact, in our sermon text today, we find both the encouragement to stand and the ground to stand upon, as God encourages us to stand firm in the word. Now, the Apostle Paul, who originally wrote these words by inspiration, wrote them to a group of Christians that he hadn't served for a very long time, a group of Christians in the Greek city of Thessalonica. And as Paul closed his final letter to these Christians that he loved dearly, he spent some time encouraging them. And here in these closing remarks, we find Paul with first a word of thanks to God, but then also a word of encouragement to the people. First, the word of thanks. He said, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." If you read through Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, what you find is a lot of warning about false teaching, encouragement because they were being kind of oppressed by people. And yet Paul wants them to realize that as Christians, life on this earth is not all bad. In fact, there are many good things to be thankful for. And as evidence of that, Paul points them to themselves. Yes, there were people that opposed the gospel. Yes, there were people that would persecute them. But Paul could still thank God because he saw the work that God had accomplished in the lives of these Thessalonian Christians. Paul could still thank God because there were people there that God had brought to faith, and he had done it through his word. And Paul was a pastor. I mean, pastors thank God because God is the one who chooses and calls and redeems his people. And I certainly thank God for that for you, and I know all your pastors do. But this isn't something only pastors do. This is something all Christians can do. We can thank God that he has surrounded us with people that he has called into his family, that he's surrounded us with brothers and sisters in the faith who we get to grow with and serve with here on earth and who we get to spend eternity with in heaven. But that's not the only thing we get to share with them. Paul went on to say, he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What God had planned out in eternity and then carried out in time through his son Jesus Christ, he now calls us to by the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings us to faith and teaches us the truth of the gospel. That's the gospel Paul preached. It's the gospel that Paul shared with his people. And it's the same message that your pastors preach and teach and write to you today. This is the good news that you have a God who loved you before time began. That you have a Savior who forgives you no matter what you've done or failed to do. This is the good news that no matter what happens to you as you go through life, you have a God who goes with you. And that changes not just your status and standing here on earth, it changes your eternity. Because not only do you get to share eternity with fellow believers and with Jesus Christ himself, did you see what Paul said? He said, you get to share in the glory of your Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even begin to imagine what that's going to be like, to share in the honor and power and splendor and majesty that belongs to our Savior God. He's going to share that with us in heaven. It's unfathomable. What else could a pastor do, a guy like Paul do? What else could any of us do but thank God for such grace and mercy shown to his people in Christ? And yet, as I mentioned, this is not only a section of Scripture where Paul thanks God. It's also a place where he pauses for a word of encouragement for his people. In his closing address to them, he sets it up by thanking God and really inviting them to marvel at God's grace to them. But then he offers this conclusion. He says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Paul had just reminded them of God's great love for them in Christ. And it was Paul's great hope that they would remember that. And because they remembered that, they would stand firm no matter what life threw at them, no matter how Satan tried to knock them over. And yet, as Abraham Lincoln said, if you're not standing in the right place, you're not going to be able to stand firm. And Paul makes it crystal clear where he wanted them to stand when he says, hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Paul's encouragement was really simple. He was saying, stand firm in the word of God we proclaimed to you, the word of God that we wrote to you in our letters, stand firm in that word. And dear friends, not only is that my encouragement to you today, and your other pastor's encouragement to you, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that no matter what would come your way in life, you would stand on the promises of your Savior God, that you would stand on his word, the teachings that have been passed down from one generation to the next, that have been handed from God to us. I mean, think of that. Our God has entrusted his holy word into the hands of sinners so that we can share the only hope of salvation with other sinners. What an amazing thing. And Paul wrote in another place, he said, "Continue then in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." This word that's been put in our hands, we've received that from other caring Christians, from mothers and fathers and grandparents and pastors and teachers. But we're not convinced of the truth of the word simply because of who we received it from. We've been convinced by the Scriptures themselves, as Paul wrote. We have known the Holy Scriptures. The God of the Bible is at work every time his word is proclaimed and read. And so we find that what the Scriptures say about themselves then is true. The word of God is living and active, and the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And the word is where God comes to you to encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. It's in God's word that he gives you what you need to live faithfully before him in this life as you march toward heaven. And it's in his word that he extends his hand and picks you up when you stumble in this life so that he can set you back standing firmly in his flock. Maybe you can understand why Paul, in his closing address to these Christians that he was so fond of, wanted to leave this as a lasting encouragement, to stand firm in the word, because ultimately, that's the greatest encouragement any Christian can give to another Christian. And as I leave you today and I go to another place to serve, that would be my same encouragement to you. Stand firm in the word. Because it's in the word of God, and only in the word of God, that you will hear the truth about yourself and the truth about your God. In the word, you see that God loved you before time began. In the word, you see he chose you before you were born. In the word, you see how he carried out that salvation in time. Because it's in the word that you get to see God sending his son. In the word, you see Jesus take on flesh and become one of us. In the word, you see him live perfectly on your behalf. In the word, you witness his death on the cross for your sins. In the word, you get to hear the angels announce, "He is not here. He is risen." And it's in the word we see him ascend into glory, a glory that we will soon share with him. It's in the word that we hear this great good news, that though we are fallen and false and full of sin, we have a Savior who is true and who has removed our debt of sin, who has taken away our penalty of hell, and who has set us firmly in his family. In the word, we hear the truth that sets us free. And so, my encouragement to you would be to go back to that word again and again and again. Stand firm in that word. When Satan comes in your life and he tempts you with empty lies and promises, stand firm in the word. And when you fall into those sins, and he comes back and teams up with your sinful flesh to accuse and condemn you before God, no, stand firm in the word. When your personal life is a wreck, and your family's fallen apart, and your finances are a mess, when your health fails, when death draws near, stand firm in the word. Stand firm knowing that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are redeemed, called, that you are set on a path towards glory. And you know it because God has said so in his word. And so then, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. May he strengthen you and encourage you in every good deed and word as you stand firm in his word. Amen.